Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
You kind of open the door up for the modern day. The guys that scramble, everybody kind of goes back, goes, hey, Steve Young's the one that started this. From a baseball perspective, yeah, there's a clock. And I remember I was back then I was still fighting everything. I said, you don't change anything in baseball. You keep everything the same. We're the only sport that doesn't have a clock. I'll tell you what, now reporting on baseball, I love the clock because I know when the game starts, it's going to be over in 2 hours and 35 minutes. And you realize that we didn't have to play 3.5 hour games. It's what we did. And I love some of the changes. I love the replay. Now, there's a few things I don't love, but I understand because we're entertainers. That's the bottom line. Yeah, we're entertained, yeah. And like you said, there's more openings. The quarterbacks, it's easier for them, and with the athleticism today, it's more entertaining for the fans. They want to see that. Well, in baseball, I understand the owners don't want to get their big boys hurt, and if your big boy's a catcher, he can't afford to be hurt, so they took away the collision at home plate. That was always a part of the game. Like, if we get there at the same time, my dad based his whole defensive career on that. So I loved hitting a catcher when I could hit him. The only thing I'll say that bothers me that's different in the game now, and it's very selfish, because I was a second baseman, and how you separate yourself from just being a second baseman and an elite second baseman was turning that big double play with your back to the runner, him trying to knock you in the left field. And yeah. I know if I do this correctly, he cannot get me. He might flip me up in the air, but he can't hurt me. And they changed the rule. You can't take out the guy turning the double play. You have to slide directly into the bag. And I tease the second baseman's now. You know, I said, second base is simple. This is what made you great, is hanging in and turning that big one. I said, you can go get the peanut lady up in the crowd. She can turn a double play now. And they laugh. And, you know, but that's the thing. The only thing that bothers me, I think about the pitcher can only throw over to first twice. And then he can't throw over again. So I think about the great base stealers of my time, Ricky Henderson and Vince Coleman's back in the 90s. These guys, I asked Vince, I play golf with him once in a while. I said, how many bags, you know, and we're always going to say more. I said, how many bags would you steal if you're in your prime with the current rules? He's like, maybe 200. I said, well, really 200? He goes, I'm going every time. I'm going to get him to throw over twice, and I'm going.
Well, so it's like what you're describing, what we're losing is the artistry, right? There's an artistry to second base and turning the double play. There was an artistry to quarterback and having people come in trying to kill you and no one, you know, and so in that way, it's just by definition, less artistry, but there's still highly competitive, amazing athletes, the best in the world. So the naked eye person who's watching, the fan, it feels awesome, you know, and the game is faster, but the little bit of artistry that's changed and missing is the thing that probably bothers you and me the most, because that's the part that you felt like that's where you earned your money, you know, you're a pro because you can turn this second bit, you know, the double play with someone that spikes up, you know, right. and that's where you truly earned your money.
It's almost like that was your pride. Like, I want you to come in. I want the biggest, baddest guy that's known for taking runner second baseman's out. And I want to see if you could take me out, because I don't think you can. So it was kind of a badge of honor. Like, I didn't want the easy double play. I wanted that theatrical. So everybody's going to ask me, how did you do it? Yeah. You know, when you do something every day, it's like when we go to watch, when I go watch a football game and I watch you throw a football, I'm going, I can't throw a football like that. I can't even throw. If you give me the smaller football, I can't throw a football. So it's amazing to me when you sit on the floor in an NBA game and you watch the size and how I can't do that. So it's people think it's something, but when you do it your whole life, it's really not a big deal. It's nothing you have to think about. But I love turning that big double play and then have a reporter come up and ask me, I've never seen anything like that before. When you're sitting there thinking, well, it's kind of easy for me. I don't want to give you that hint. I've been doing it my whole life, but it was a part of it. And it's something you reveled in. It's like, give me that big play in the ninth inning when the game's on the line. I want to turn this big one. I hope you flip me in the air and they get a good picture of me flipping over, but I still got the double play done. That was the cool part for
me. That's a big money moment.
Talking about the kids today, you go out and you watch a young player. Is there anything, I did a little scouting back in 2017. I went to the draft. I thought I was Mr. Scout. I can just tell when I see a future big leaguer. A little more to it than I thought. Now, over the years, I've watched and I've learned. I could learn more by just sitting down at lunch with a young player, a minor league player, and picking his brain to see if he has that kind of it factor you look for at the big league level and the success I've seen. When you watch a college player now, is there something you point to that he's got that X that means he's going to be able to play in the NFL?
You talk about the differences. It is easier to transition because of the rule changes. What happened because of more space, offensive coordinators in the NFL, namely, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, and Sean Payton, saw the changes and said, hey, there's much more space. Let's take advantage of it and let's send people out and we can do slip screens now. We can do the college stuff because there's more space. And they started doing all these innovative new things in the NFL that weren't around. And for example, in 2023, there's just a little stat I want to throw out. Brock Purdy, who's a young quarterback for the 49ers, dominated. And at the end of the season, yards per attempt, usually the best ones in the league were high eights. Every once in a while there's a nine for yards per attempt. The 49ers, all the passes they attempted from the line of scrimmage and behind, screen passes like slip screen, anything, and of those kind of passes, you should be 90% completion, right? Because it's right there. They let those passes from behind the line of scrimmage were 9.5 yards. So the explosiveness of understanding what the rule changes did and how it created an environment where a quarterback could literally be throw efficiency numbers up of 122. 132 it's insane. But now in today's game, it is possible because of the rule changes that allow for the expertise. All these guys that are throwing up those numbers are just as expert as we were before, but now has all this more expansive place to do it. So it's hard. It's a lot. I guess one point is coming from college to the pros today, it's a lot easier to try to predict. Still hard, still difficult. A lot of guys fail, but the step from the old, before the rule changes, college, my college memory is every college receiver is open. My pro memory is no receiver is ever open. And so in that change, it's pretty dramatic. And now that the college and the pro game are essentially the same, and now with the NILs and the portal, it's really minor league NFL, the college. So you can get a really good sense, I think, of who's going to be any good in the pros. Now, the key is, do you get to a place in the NFL that can support quarterbacks, that understands the position, who you think everyone does? No, less than half. And so a lot of great quarterbacks, that they get drafted and go to a place, and it's terrible. The coaching's terrible, the organization's terrible, and playing quarterback, you need a lot of help, Brett. If you don't have a lot of help, you're not going to be great. And so I think in many ways, a surefire guy coming out of college, why does he fail? Look where he went is a lot of the reason. And that's why I hope that Fernando Mendoza and the Raiders, because the Raiders have been a mess. But Tom Brady's down there, new owners coming in, and they think they know what they're doing. It could get better. But if it was the Raiders of the last 10 years, you're not going to find out how really good you are. It's going to be a mess, and it's going to be tough.
I think you were quoted actually at the beginning of Brock Purdy's career saying, I think they overlooked this guy. I was at his first game when he came in for Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. We had come from a golf trip and I went down there to see to see them play Miami. Garoppolo gets hurt. They bring in Purdy. Yeah. My buddy tells me, he goes, he's the last pick in the draft. He's from Arizona. And we're thinking Miami's going to roll him. And he ends up winning that game and then turned into the Brock Purdy today. So it was pretty cool. I always say I was there for his, when he first got his shot.
You started. You saw it.
Yep. Three quarterbacks that you've ever seen play not wearing a 49er uniform. Three greatest. Never wore a 49er uniform. Taking it out of there.
Well, I mean, Tom Brady's done things that none of us can even fathom. You can't – I've never thought that Super Bowls completely define a quarterback's career. Like Dan Marino didn't go to a Super Bowl, so his career – but it is a thing. And there's something to it. And it is defining whether you like it or not. And to go to 11 of them and win 7 of them – I don't know how to, other than tip my cap to it. I don't know what to do. Now, you can you can have all kinds of conversations about athleticism or completion percentages or I don't know how you can try to contort it, but you know, you gotta hand it to him. And then Peyton Manning, but then you get into a mix of like John Elway and Brett Favre and Dan Marino. And like, I remember watching Dan Marino do things that just unheard of with football. So it's like you can't keep these guys out of that conversation or that list. And so it's really tough for me, Brett, to say, okay, put the 49ers aside. Joe and I, you know, obviously, not speaking of the 49ers or John Brody or anyone else, and you say anyone else in the league, there's 10 guys that I almost refuse to, like, parse through because I watch them do things that, to me, were otherworldly. And it's like, well, who's more otherworldly than the next otherworldly guy? And it's really tough at quarterback because now look, if you say those 10 guys and the next 10, I can kind of, I'm okay with that. But those first few, but when Tom Brady rolls in with 7 Super Bowls, I don't know what else I don't know what you do about that. I mean, yeah.
No, it makes sense though. I mean, you put a certain guys, they're in this elite group, and then there's this group of other. I understand completely what you're saying. All right, I know you got to go. I got one more. I'll let you out of here. 49ers, the longevity of success. What's so special, you know, from Eddie DeBartolo, Walsh, Seifert, John Lynch, who's a buddy of mine, GM for a long time there. What makes them special? They kind of remind me of the Braves and how they just keep going with a lot of success.
So there's connectivity between Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and us. There were some years in between, but there's direct connectivity because when people would leave our place and go coach in Green Bay with Mike Holmgren or Mike Shanahan went to Denver and it started to spread around the league, what Bill Walsh started to now infiltrate everywhere. So John Lynch is like a cousin of the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan is a grandson of the 49ers. Like it's in the family. So the connectivity of how you did it started with Bill Walsh. I'll say this when he talked to the team, and I won't say it verbatim, but he would say, look, I don't care what play you call. I don't care what defense you run. The only reason we're going to win is because we have shared common experiences amongst each other and an element of love for each other. Take that and just chew on that for a while and recognize if that's your North Star, relationships, spending time with each other. He used to say, you can be 10 years with this team. You'll know everyone's name because it's on the freaking back of their jersey. But what will you know about them? And he would force guys. We'd come in for 2-a-days at lunch. All the quarterbacks would sit together like, oh, just let us be. And he'd come in and, no, get out. Sit with somebody else on this team that you do not know. And he said if he did that enough, he would be in a situation where we all have this connectivity that you couldn't break. And so Bill, and look, he had the West Coast offense was a huge innovation that had 3 generations of a head start. Like there's things he did that just changed the game. But if you ask me, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan to Bill Walsh and Joe Montana and Steve Young and Jerry Rice and George Seifert and you know Mike Shanahan, if you want to connect those, connect it with that statement and then recognize in the football back then, that was the last thing a coach would say, the last thing he would ever think about. And now in the game today, where baseball and football with owners and players now making partnership, coaches and players being partnership, you can feel it. There's a partnership in the locker room amongst them. That was never the case. And I think even in baseball, it's been infiltrated that way. The best teams in the league today, the best ones, are run by people who have come from that tree and who have imparted that kind of wisdom and paid it forward. And that's, you ask me why? That's why.
That's awesome. Well, Steve Young, I appreciate you taking out the time today.
Brett, you're the man.
This is a lot of fun. For those of you watching the Brett Boone podcast now on YouTube, check it out. For those of you listening to the podcast, Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast. Till next time, keep it here. Thanks, Steve.
See you, everybody.